Chapter 12. Ideas for Giving. The most valuable thing I can give to others is my attention. Dale Carnegie's best-selling book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, reveals that listening to others is how we get them to like us. Just listen to them with interest. We like people who listen to us. According to Carnegie, we don't have to tell others anything about ourselves for them to like us. We just have to be good listeners by making continual eye contact, smiling, nodding, validating them as they speak with right and yes, and asking questions about what they are saying to keep them talking about themselves. Even if you have just met them and they haven't learned anything at all about you, after you listen to them intently for a short time, they will feel that they like you. People want to be heard and validated more than they want to hear and learn about us. People yearn to connect, for others to know them. Good listening provides that. Here is a suggestion for practicing good listening. Once again, call a friend. Ask how he is doing, and then listen without interrupting. While listening, give him feedback and ask questions based on what he has talked about. Keep the conversation on his topic. Being a good listener takes a lot of patience, and it is hard to listen without interrupting. Sometimes I find that I want to do most of the talking, so not interrupting is challenging. It can be difficult to listen to all of what the other person is saying without half listening or half thinking about your response and then interrupting before he finishes his thoughts or story. Before I respond, I try to let him keep going until there is an obvious pause when he has said all he needs to. It is not easy to be a good listener. We all want to talk and be heard. I also notice that I want to solve a problem or teach and then move on in the conversation. The longer I can listen without interrupting, however, the more giving my listening is. This is all that many counselors do. They encourage their patients to talk, then repeat back what they hear to indicate they are listening, and then they continue to ask questions in order to fully understand a problem before they give feedback. But if I am impatient and I don't want to wait for the full story or all the information, I will interrupt and start giving my premature analysis and my own desire to be heard. When you are listening to someone who is expressing emotional pain, if you haven't had the same experience, don't say, "I know how you feel," because you don't. It's only okay to say, "I know how you feel," if you have had the same pain or experience. Otherwise, just validate his sharing of a painful event or experience by saying something factual such as, "That must make you feel sad," or "That sounds very painful." You could also say, "I can't imagine how hard this has been for you." That shows that you recognize and acknowledge his pain and that you are listening. In general, listening is like giving, whereas talking is like taking. So the goal is to give more, to listen more and talk less, or talk less about ourselves, which can be challenging. Sometimes there are people who start talking and won't stop, as if they want to hold us hostage to listening to them. They blab on and on, never getting to any point, and you can hardly take 10 more seconds of their talking. But you realize that no one else wants to listen to them either. People who do this are extremely lonely and desperate to connect with others, but their behavior pushes others away. It is too intense, so it becomes a form of self-sabotage. Since I know this, I try to give such people my full attention and patience for as long as I can tolerate it. I do my best to listen, thinking, "I'm here for you, and what you're telling me is the most important thing I've ever heard." I do my best not to display body language such as fidgeting or looking away as if I'm about to run, to give them at least a few moments of real listening. It's not easy to do, but some people should have a pause or stop button on their forehead. But their behavior provides good opportunities to practice giving. Think of any friend you haven't spoken to in a while and call him or her right now and ask how he's doing. Then just listen. Don't talk about yourself at all, and don't talk about your life, even if he asks. Redirect back to him and keep the focus on him and his life. It's hard not to talk about yourself, but once you hear what he's got to say, come up with some ideas for how you can help him and give to him concerning his issues or problems. Ask him the right questions to pull his answer out of him, such as, "What do you need right now? How can I help you with that? What can I do for you today? When can I help you?" Figure out how he could use your help right now. It may just be your listening to him is all he really needs. Giving compliments. Compliments are another way of giving. I walked up to my daughter one day as she was brushing her hair and looking at herself in the mirror. I paused behind her, looking at her reflection, and said, "My beautiful, special child, who doesn't even know how beautiful and special she is." Then I just smiled at her. I could see that it made her feel good inside. Are you planting beautiful, positive, life-affirming thoughts in your children and the other people you are in contact with? To people you care about, you can say, "I need to tell you something." Then, genuinely, tell them specifically what you admire and appreciate most about them. One great way to compliment people close to you is to exaggerate a compliment. So I just said to my daughter as we were walking out the door to take her to school, "Come on, my sweet, beautiful child who's so smart and special with a special heart, who's so sweet and giving to me and others, my little love." After I said that, she started skipping around and smiling at me. It was priceless. Text others meaningful words from your heart. Think of someone important to you and then text her a message saying what she means to you. For example, "Hey, I was just thinking about you and that you mean a lot to me, and I'm grateful you're in my life." We don't do that enough. Or just say, "I love you. I was thinking about you." Or, "Do you know how special you are to me? You mean a lot to me, and my life is so much better because you're in it. I just wanted to let you know that." It's incredible how powerful positive words and feedback can be to other people. It will mean more to them than you think it does. Free compliments, a great idea. I was at a large public fair recently when I saw a guy sitting in a chair with a sign around his neck that read, "Free compliments." Wow. What an idea and a conversation starter. He's giving compliments to get compliments in real time. I watched him complimenting people as they walked by, and they stopped to do the same in return. Everyone was smiling. I admired his idea and appreciated his example. Smile often. I love it when someone gives me a big smile for no reason. Is it okay to smile at other people for no reason with sustained eye contact? Isn't that risky? Won't they think I have selfish motives or perverted intentions? Not if I do it from the heart while silently saying, "I love you." People can know without any words spoken that your smile is simply a gift with no selfish intentions. Muster the courage to be the first to smile, to be a leader, to be a teacher, and create a ripple of good feelings. Make eye contact with others and smile as often as you can remember. It is giving without saying a word. It is asking strangers to trust that your intention is pure and they can receive it without fear. With practice, you get more smiles back and fewer awkward glances away. I have memories of people who decided to give me a big smile and eye contact for no reason I could think of at the moment, but that made me feel good nevertheless. Smiling is something free and simple that we can give to others. It feels good to give others opportunities to give. One time I went into a gas station to get something to drink. At checkout, I gave the clerk $20, and the change was just under $18. Without anyone else hearing me, I leaned in and said, "I want you to keep the change and then pay for everybody coming behind me until the money's used up." He said, okay. I walked out feeling good that I had just given a gift to the people in line behind me, and also that I had given the clerk the opportunity to be a part of giving, which was going to make him feel good too. I gave him the ability to give. Giving directly feels good. But giving indirectly also feels good. Always having to get the deal is not very giving. When you are buying something or negotiating with others, do you always need to bargain down the price and get the better deal? If you do, that is not giving. How about paying full price and giving the other party the better deal? My suggestion is to give more than the other party expects in every transaction. For example, tip double what you normally do. When I've done that, sometimes the waiter will ask, "Are you sure?" And I'll say, "Yes, of course I'm sure." I've had people ask, "Why are you doing this? I can't accept this." And I will reply, "Why not?" Don't be stingy unless you want the world to be that way with you. It's a cycle. What you are giving out and how you are giving it comes back to you in kind over time. It may not come the next day or the next week. It may come years down the road, but it will come. It has happened to me. How you are treating others now will determine the quality of your future. Traffic provides opportunities to practice giving. When people are in traffic, they commonly express anger and impatience. It resembles how people act like fools behind their computers on social media. We say and do things while we are driving or on social media that we normally wouldn't say or do if we were face-to-face with people. I sometimes find myself name-calling out loud while I'm driving in ways I would never do outside the car. That will happen, for example, if someone cuts in front of me, follows too closely, or doesn't let me in and then pretends to look the other way. It can also happen if someone gives me a negative gesture when I commit one of those acts. So traffic gives me multiple opportunities to practice patience and forgiveness and not react immediately with anger. How do we practice giving to others while driving instead of having visible big baby anger fits? Try deciding to let someone else go ahead of you, or let someone else have a parking spot that you are about to pull into. If someone is cutting in front of you, let them in. Give it to them, even if it's not their turn. That isn't easy, but it's a way to practice unconditional giving. Always be nice to people in service positions. How do you treat customer service people on the phone? Like punching bags? They are not their company, and they are not responsible for making the dumb policy you're so mad about. When I talk to customer service representatives, I am always extra nice to them. I also make it a point to be extra kind to wait staff. Don't abuse your power or position just because you can. Be nice to others regardless of their position. Always be nice to people who are serving you. That is a simple way to give. Kindness is always the right choice, but not always the easy choice. Listening to my heart with a homeless couple. One day, while I was driving, I passed a familiar couple on a street corner. They were both in their 50s or 60s and seemed to be arguing. The woman had short, blonde hair, was missing a lot of teeth, and was dressed all in black, including her cap. The man, who had gray hair and a ponytail, had a rough and beat-up look. I had seen them around in my area for at least a year, but I had never spoken to them. My heart said, "Stop, pull over, help them, do something for them." So I pulled over, parked near them, and watched them from my car for a minute. All the while, I was thinking, "What can I do? I don't want to give them money. That's stupid. That will only enable them to get high and drunk. They must be addicts. What can I do to help them?" I started coming up with all these reasons not to do anything. Maybe I thought, "I'll help them tomorrow." But I didn't listen to that selfish chatter. I ignored it, got out of my car, walked right over to them, and waited for them to make eye contact with me. When they did, I said, "Hey, do y'all want to go get something to eat?" I hadn't planned on saying that. It just came out, because that was simple. I could buy them something to eat and leave. That wouldn't be hard. The woman said, "Sure, that would be great," and the man agreed. So I asked where they wanted to go and waved for them to follow me back to my car. As the woman got into the car, she said, "Denny's." So Denny's it was. As we drove there, I looked at the woman and said, "Tell me, how are you doing?" She immediately started telling me about how she suffered from panic attacks and had anxiety problems. I could tell she was very scattered mentally. Soon, I learned that she and the guy had been together for 5 years and had been married for a year and a half. The man was physically disabled, had health problems, and was probably an alcoholic. To my surprise, the woman said that she had been a nurse before she developed her mental problems and that she needed to get her life together so she would be able to give again. Now, what are the odds that the word giving would be one of the first words out of her mouth after they got in the car, and specifically that she wanted to be in a position to give again? I briefly thought about telling them about my revelations, which had happened about a month before, but I didn't because I didn't want to get all preachy about giving. So I just stayed in the moment, listened to both of them talk, and took them to Denny's, where I bought them some food and did my best just to listen. That's it. It was just reaching out to some people who looked like they could use a little help at the moment with a meal and some non-judgmental company. Nothing feels better than giving to others. For the last 20 years, one of my hobbies has been prepping for disaster, specifically researching and obtaining the best supplies for survival in the event of a natural or man-made calamity. For years, I've collected all the best supplies in every category, including backpacks, tents, sleeping bags, stoves, lighting, etc., in order to at least have the ability to survive without relying on outside resources to meet the basic needs of food, shelter, and water. I have a routine of going for breakfast to a local McDonald's, where I recently noticed a woman who appeared to be homeless because her clothes and backpack were dirty. She would come in there just to get out of the cold and rain. So I decided to put a backpack together for her, filled with useful items for living outdoors. While I was doing this for her, I remembered a guy who was into camping and decided I wanted to set him up with some of my gear too. I ended up packing two backpacks full to the top with all the best equipment for living outdoors. I never thought for a second about the money those things had cost me. I was operating above my instincts. All I could think about was the joy of imagining what they would feel like when I gave them these things. I would experience their joy and surprise. The next day, I put both backpacks in the trunk of my car and headed to McDonald's. But the woman wasn't there. However, a man and a woman who appeared to be in their 60s were sitting on the other side of the restaurant. They looked homeless, so I walked over to them and said, "Hey, how are you doing?" Then I asked them where they were from. The man said he was from Louisiana and that he and his wife had come up to Seattle after the flood in New Orleans caused by Katrina, which had destroyed everything they owned. They had come to Seattle to do union work in tile and marble, but the work didn't come through as they had expected, and they didn't have anybody up here to help them. Then the woman told me that they had slept outside the night before without proper bedding because they didn't want to be separated in a shelter. I still had those two loaded backpacks in my trunk, so I said, "Follow me out to my car." Both backpacks were fully loaded with all the supplies needed to survive comfortably outdoors. There were camouflage Gore-Tex tents, high-end lightweight goose-down sleeping bags, multi-fuel stoves, titanium cup pots, high-end headlamps, extra lithium batteries, nice pocket knives, mace, nice sleeping pads, water filters, and many other goodies for living out of a backpack. I opened my trunk and handed each of them a loaded pack. The feeling of giving that stuff to those two people was priceless. And yes, I went home and packed two more backpacks to give to the people I had originally intended them for. I asked my daughter, "Why be a giver? Is it better to be a giver or a taker?" I asked my daughter, "And why?" My daughter, who was 7 at the time, responded, "A giver. You want to be a giver, so you can always give back, and you get a lot of love back, and you don't get things taken from you." Be real. Here's a mantra for you. I give wherever I go. Here's another one. Instead of asking people, "How are you doing?" ask them, "How are you really doing?" This can be followed up with, "How can I help you today?" or, "Do you need any help with anything?" Ask questions to find out how you can really help. Business giving. Give with no catch. If a business advertises something for free, you know there's always a catch. How many businesses give away something with no condition, actions, or requirements from the consumer? At my retail store, I give to my customers with low margin prices and great customer service. And the customer is always right. Even if the customer is wrong, he's right. When a customer presents any problem, I listen with a smile and offer something above and beyond to solve the problem, even if he is in the wrong. I do my best not to be negative in any way, not with my tone, my attitude, or my questions. I do whatever it takes to result in a positive experience. My goal is to always give more than the customer expects. How is your business giving? How are you giving? Because remember, the more you give to your customers, the bigger your business will grow. Word of mouth is powerful advertising. People will market for you because they want to. What does your business do that makes people go out of their way to tell others that you are giving? For any company or business model you like, I bet it's because they're giving in ways that set them apart. People like companies that give. Here's another example of how I give to my customers. At my retail store, I fill up a couple of boxes with extra stock items worth anywhere from $10 to $80 each. I set the boxes on a bottom shelf in the front of the store. At any given time, I announce to all the customers in the store that they can pick out one free item from the box. When they see the quality of what I am giving away, they are very pleased, excited, and grateful. I love giving. Anne Frank once said, "No one has ever become poor by giving." For a company to give away stuff with no strings attached is not only the most effective form of marketing, but it is also the least expensive for results. Remember, what you give comes back to you. And in business, that means more business. Exercise equals better mood equals better giver. Exercise has always made me feel better. It relieves stress and gives me a good feeling mentally and an overall sense of well-being. But exercise requires continual action and effort on my part. Exercising improves my overall mood, so I'm more likely to be willing to be of service to others if presented with an opportunity to do so. Every time I exercise, my guesstimate is that I earn at least a 50% increase in my positive mood for the rest of that day. If I don't exercise regularly, my stress level will build up and I will feel irritable, moody, and depressed. For me, exercise makes a very powerful difference in my life. When I exercise, I can deal with stress because I feel relaxed and normal. When I exercise, endorphins are released into my bloodstream, which feels good. Do I want to run for 35 minutes? No. For the first 2 minutes, I'm usually thinking, "This is hard, stop." But I keep going even though it's hard because I know I need to do it for the mood benefits and stress relief. To earn something means to get results from effort. To exercise is to earn. The results cannot be given to me. They are earned through my effort, but effort is required. Action is required. Nobody else can do it for me. I can't pay someone to exercise for me. I can pay someone to train me, but I have to do the work part myself. I have to work for my good moods and a better body by choosing to exercise regularly. Even when I have put off working out for a while because I was sick, when I go back, as soon as I start doing some weights and cardiovascular exercises, I begin to feel better mentally about halfway through the workout and then for the rest of that day. So, exercise does provide immediate gratification during and after workout, and I will sleep better that night too. Please see a doctor or get a trainer for specific advice before starting exercise if you are not in good shape or you are unsure about how to proceed. If you have never worked out, you will still have mental benefits from the very first day you give it a try. There will be a direct correlation between what you did, which wasn't easy when you started, and how you feel mentally afterward. And you will have earned that feeling. Your body will thank you for the hard work with good feelings and an improved mood. Then, by continuing to exercise over time, you will get the positive mental results that translate into your being a better giver. Also, the overall health and shape of your body will improve, along with your moods.